WCF WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. President-elect Trump is making decisions about who he will be asking to serve in his new administration, and as CBS's Bradley Blackburn reports, who will not be asked.
In a familiar form, a social media post, President-elect Trump announced he will not be inviting Nikki Haley or Mike Pompeo to join his administration, adding, "I very much enjoyed and appreciated working with them previously." Pompeo had served as Trump's Secretary of State and was thought to be a contender for Defense Secretary in a second administration. Haley, his former UN ambassador turned primary opponent, is for now firmly pushed out.
Retiring Democratic congressman and presidential candidate last year, Dean Phillips of Minnesota, says his pleas to the party to nominate someone other than Joe Biden for president were ignored until it was too late.
My voice, yes, was ignored, but tens of millions of Americans' voices were ignored and suppressed and disenfranchised. I think that's what, frankly, has led to Trumpism. People getting tired, being on the sidelines and their voices diminished.
Phillips was on Fox News Sunday. At least one person is dead after a shooting at Tuskegee University in Alabama.
The campus was celebrating its 100th homecoming when shots were fired.
Get down.
Video of the incident was posted on X. In a statement, the university said the person who was killed was not a Tuskegee student. Several other people were hospitalized with injuries. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
Air quality readings around New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are at unhealthy levels due to wildfires in the region. Brooklyn Methodist Hospital pulmonologist Dr. Anthony Sala recommends people with lung conditions limit time outdoors and wear a high-quality mask when outside.
Anyone who has a lung ailment, these fires can really be devastating. It can really make someone get very sick very quickly.
The director of a hospital in Gaza says an Israeli strike on a refugee camp has killed at least 17 people. This as the humanitarian crisis there is reaching a deadly critical point, as CBS's Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
Palestinians in northern Gaza say that almost no food has entered that area of the strip for the past month, and tens of thousands of people are barely surviving. They say Israel is trying to force them to leave northern Gaza, where Israel has been waging a fierce campaign against Hamas for the past month.
The mid-month deadline is approaching for an ultimatum the Biden administration gave Israel to allow more aid into Gaza or risk possible restrictions on U.S. military funding. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This was our first election with Wisconsin's new maps, and experts say they made a difference. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Although Republicans still have the upper hand, their supermajority is quashed, and Democrats made some key gains in the Wisconsin legislature, which they believe puts them in a better position to gain chamber control in 2026. Political scientist David Helpap with the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay says this lays the groundwork for changes in future policy proposals.
As districts become more competitive, it makes it more difficult for those who are elected officials in those districts to really propose policies that are too far left or right of center, simply because they know they're going to have to answer to voters that are more center than they used to be.
He says the new legislative maps leveled the playing field for legislators in a way that Wisconsin hasn't seen in more than a decade. Until Governor Tony Evers came into office, Republicans had free rein in choosing which policies to push forward, Helpap adds. But Evers changed that dynamic overall, most recently with the new legislative maps. One of the biggest upcoming policy issues is the next state budget. From K through 12 education to funding local government, the UW system, and corrections, Helpap says that's where Wisconsinites could see the impact of these changes the most, and the dynamic will be different.
there's no doubt that Republicans still have the majority and they can sort of proceed in that fashion. But I think perhaps some folks will be thinking about the next election cycle and maybe the implications of specific decisions that they'll be making during this budget process.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds around the area today. Some drizzle and fog as well. Highs in the lower to middle 50s. A light northwest wind developing. Across the area tonight, we'll see scattered clouds. That west breeze will continue as lows drop to the upper 30s. Currently 49 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
This is producer Greg, and Pat's on vacation all next week, but don't worry, we got special guest hosts Todd Alba, Matt Rothschild, and Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Kripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and here is this week's episode. And also, we are presented and powered by Everlight Solar. Folks, welcome to the Kripescast. This week, my guest is Kathleen Madigan. You've known her from her 30 years of doing stand-up, just a staple of the comedy industry for so long. She's currently on the 2024 Potluck Party Tour. She's got 6 comedy specials, shooting her 7th in 2025 in Milwaukee. She chose Milwaukee for a special with, I think, is very special for someone from Missouri. You know, but she and I actually had a lot in common. We both grew up in big Catholic families. She loves the Midwest. She loves fishing, small towns, casinos. I really enjoyed talking to Kathleen. She's the kind of person that you I had never met her before this interview. And she's the kind of person that I feel like I've known forever. So it was just such a treat, such a joy to talk with Kathleen. And yeah. I hope you guys enjoy the conversation. I think you will. Before we get to that, we are still, of course, raising money for Doctors Without Borders. You can check them out, doctorswithoutborders.org, or you can follow me at Doctors Without Borders. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here is my conversation with the great Kathleen Madigan. So how you been?
I've been good. Good. Busy. Working. Every weekend. I'm looking forward to a week off.
What do you do on your weeks off?
Well, I need to reorganize my fantasy football team for sure.
What's going on with it?
Well, I'm winning, but there's just too many people hurt. And then I wake up on Tuesdays and go, oh my God, I got to do all this stuff. And then I think, what if this was like real? You know, what if I was the coach of a team where all this actually happened? And then, I mean, it's not even real, but I just haven't had the right amount of time to do that. That's what I would do. And then I would golf and I would go fishing because now it's fishing time. I want to go fishing.
I definitely want to talk about fishing.
Okay.
But at first I just want to touch on that fantasy football thing. Do you feel like with your experience in fantasy football that if given the chance, you could step into a role of coach of an NFL team? If given a chance?
Well, no. No, I don't really know anything. I mean, I feel like I could maybe help, but see, I don't understand how they know all those plays and how they memorize all that stuff. I'm just like a hack. I watch every game, but I don't understand. Like when they, I understand Dallas doesn't have a running game. I get that. Like yeah. You know, I watch First Take. I love Stephen A. Smith because he hates the Cowboys as much as I hate the Cowboys. So I watch that. But really, I don't hate the Cowboys. I hate Jerry. It's Jerry. Yeah, it's just Jerry.
Jerry is, he's the epitome of a guy who feels like you can just buy the American dream and then that's it. You know, that's kind of his vibe. Like, I remember they're trying to figure out who's America's team and it was between the Steelers and the Cowboys and the Packers. And I'm a Packers fan. So it was like the Packers there. It's a team owned by the people. you know, people, in the Steelers, right. It's like badass, sort of, you know, rust belt, sort of been through some stuff. And then it's the Cowboys. It's like Jerry just had a lot of money and said, I want a football team, you know?
Right. Right.
It's like,
I also think it's that I'm always amazed by people who think they are definitely smarter than everybody in the room, even while this whole scenario is playing out where you're clearly not. But yet he's still like, he walked into that locker room before anybody last night. Get out of the locker room, dude. Like Mike McCarthy, you can't, if you're Mike McCarthy, you just had to know that. And then it makes me not respect Mike McCarthy. Cause I think the only person that could tell Jerry to just f off would be like a Bill Belichick.
Right.
Maybe. And that's a maybe. I still think, did you see him land his helicopter at their practice last week, Jerry?
No. No, I'm out of the loop on how much of a D-bag Jerry Jones is. I did not know.
Well, I mean, you know, what are you doing? It was last week. If you go on Twitter, just put in like helicopter Jerry Jones, it'll come up. They're trying to have a practice like normal people.
Yeah.
And you know, Jackie Jackstraw flies in and lands and stops the practice. It's like, I feel sorry for Cowboy fans because you're stuck with him and his son looks like him. They're like Russian dolls. They never stop. It's a whole box of Jerry Joneses, even the grandkids. I'm like, oh my God, they're little blonde square headed things too. It's like, it'll never end until the family sells the team.
Well, do you think they're actually going to do that?
No. Not anytime soon that I've heard of. And I think the son sits there with him week after week and it's the same person.
Yeah, that's not a good deal. I'm trying to find this oh my God, this is obnoxious. I'm just watching this helicopter clip right now. What the hell? Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough when you have that much money because you can sit there and say, should I take the helicopter over there? That'll show my mean business.
Right.
When in reality, you're so disconnected from reality that you don't even know that that's like
a disturbance. You're just disrupting crap. And and it's going to be, here he comes. It's going to take an hour out of the day. Like, here he comes. Then he lands and then he's got to bullshit with everybody. And then he's got to take off again. You can't be like running routes around a helicopter while it's on.
No. In fact, that's very dangerous. You can get sucked up into that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all he needs is one less player.
Right. Yeah. Those helmets are good for concussions, apparently better, but they do not stand a chance against a helicopter blade. That's for sure.
I don't think so. Yeah. So that's what I will be doing on my week off, trying to find a better running back.
Good for you. Fishing?
I'm going to be fishing and then maybe golf with little Brian Dorfman. Do you know Brian Dorfman, who owns Zanies down here?
I do.
He's
know
my
Brian.
Little friend. Yeah. Yes. Brian's a diehard golfer until it gets below 40. Then he chickens out.
Tell Brian to just get a big coat, you know?
He's for a hockey guy who played hockey his whole life, he has no tolerance for cold weather.
Tell him he's got to wear more than that hoodie that he always wears.
It's the same hoodie over and over. I'm like, dude, you're 57. Can we just get you a different hoodie? Can I get you one from some fancy golf course or something? No.
He's like the Bill Belichick of comedy club guys. You know what I mean?
He said he had to go to a wedding last week. And I'm like, I hope it's dress casual attire because I don't even think he owns anything else. I can't picture him at all, like in a sport coat or a suit jacket or no. In fact, I should ask him. I want to see pictures of what he wore. Lululemon golf pants and some sort of fancy hoodie. Yeah.
He's a great guy. He's a great dude.
And he's a good golfer. And he's fun and he's fast. So that's why I like golf. Yeah, he plays fast.
Nice.
Like, let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to be a caddy. So I know how to play fast. I do not play good. I play very bad, in fact.
That fast is the most important thing.
Yeah, I'll just sometimes just pick it up and walk.
Why not?
You know,
right.
No one even cares. That's the thing with golf, though. It's like you get out there to relax. And as soon as you're out there, you're like, they're coming up on us. You know, they're halfway through that hole, you know, and then it just ruins like 6 holes of your relaxation time.
Yeah, it's better to just let them go. But then you look behind them and then there's another group behind them and you're like, what's the point of letting them go? Because there's just going to be another group up my ass. But that's only, I don't really have any friends that play slowly anymore. And if the sand isn't perfect, I'll just throw it out and go, you know what? Professionals don't put up with this. Why would I put up with a muddy sand trap? That's bullshit. I just throw it out.
You just, throw it out of the sand trap.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't even know that was an option.
Why not? I mean, would Tiger Woods play in a mud hole? No. Well, why does Kathleen have to? I just throw it out. That's how we go faster, though. There's no reason to spend 18 shots in a mud hole bunker when you could just throw it out. And, you know, if you want to give yourself a stroke for doing that, do it. But if not, play on.
I feel like golf should maybe be reimagined. You know, like there's 18 holes. Okay.
That's too many. Yeah.
That's too many. Like, and everybody's up your ass to get done with it fast enough. But what if you just did, like, I think 4.5 holes is the ideal amount of golf.
Oh, I was going to go 12.
I'd say 4.5. You say 12. We'll meet in the middle, like 9 3/4. I can't do math.
All right.
You know, but why 18? Does anyone know the history of that? Like, who thought that would be?
No, I don't know. Maybe they just had so much land in Scotland. They just were like, just keep going. And it was the rich people. So they had no jobs. So you had all day. Like, that's, it was only they're super rich that played it, like a king and his little court of people. I think they just had the time. And what else? They didn't have cable. They didn't have football. There wasn't really much else to do in 1490.
Right. Yeah. Well, probably fight some wars somewhere. But, you know, I mean, I don't know when Braveheart, I don't know exactly what year that took place. Probably like well before, well after. But even the Kings, they weren't getting out there and doing that.
No, they weren't going. No, not until it got super weird. And then they probably didn't go either. They were playing golf.
Yeah. And nobody ever really saw a king up close back then anyway. So they probably just sent somebody with kind of messed up teeth and a good crown, a good head holder, and put a crown on them and sent them on a big horse. No one was going to look that close.
No, there'd be no way somebody saw an oil painting of that guy. No way.
Yeah.
Because the oil paintings of that guy were in the castle and you're never getting in the castle anyway. So the only people that really knew what he looked like were his family and maybe 20 friends.
Right.
So foreign dignitaries might have known, other kings. That's why when Greg Norman said he was going to change the game of golf, I'm like, well, you know, we kind of made up our minds on that in 1490. I don't really think you can come along in 2024 and say this is now golf. No. Now you can adjust golf as we know it, like you're saying. But to change it to where all the things that live golf is and isn't, no, it's too late. No, Greg, it's not going to work. It's not working. I didn't think it would work, and it's not working.
It's sort of one of those things where, like, you know how, like, they say we have a hard time with technology because we haven't evolved. We evolve slower than the technology. It's kind of the same thing with golf. Like we've been expecting to like evolve to like a Scottish king for all this time, and nobody's even close to that place in their life, you know? So it's
maybe Trump, because he has his own course.
And that would actually make sense. That would make sense. Yeah, that guy for sure can play golf all day. And I think sometimes he does. And
nobody's on his ass because the Secret Service makes sure that, like, there's no foursome behind him with their hands on their hip going, come on, man.
No. I mean,
he's the only one that beat. Well, maybe Tiger. He has his own courses. He can do that.
Yeah. But I don't know. Is he good at golf? I don't even know. I see.
I think he's okay. But I mean, I've seen videos of shanks of his, like, he's good enough for the weekend, you know, but is he like good? Good. I don't think so. No, I think they just go get that ball and bring it back to him. I mean, if that's good, then he's good. Like, if you want to lie about your score, he always says he won his club championship. Right. Cause you own the club and you said so.
So, you got a big family and I got a big family. So we got that in common. We both grew up Catholic and we got that in common. So we got a lot, and both Midwest. So you consider Missouri Midwest, right?
I do, but that's what I love about the Midwest, because the Midwesterners are asking other Midwesterners, what is the Midwest?
Right.
Like when the Dakotas put themselves in our group, I'm like, really? You guys think you're... I never even consider them when I say the Midwest. And sometimes I have a problem with Ohio. It's a little easty-weasty for me. I don't... I think of the line we are in. The Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Missouri, Illinois. I'll give Illinois. And then I don't know that whole strip of North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas. To me, you guys are, once you left Kansas City, you're now in a plains state. Like you're, that's the plains to me. That's not the same. But then I would feel bad if the Dakota people didn't include Missouri. So I don't want them, I don't want to make them feel like shit that we don't really think they are. But like people, this is the craziest thing of what people on the coast think of the Midwest. Like I told Comedy Central this 100 years ago when they had those half hour specials. I didn't know you could design your own set. Nobody told me that. So they just saw that I was from Missouri and put like a wheat field with a silo and a windmill deal as my set. And I was like, huh, that's not really like St. Louis or Missouri, but okay. I mean, I didn't bitch about it. I was, it kind of made me laugh, but like that's Kansas.
Yeah.
To me, that's a plains state. Like that's Nebraska. That's, so I don't, I think we should have a meeting of the Midwesterners where we all decide like some sort of conference and make it right in the middle, which would probably be like Des Moines. We should go there.
Yes.
And decide who counts, who doesn't, who would like to be removed, who would like to stay. Ohio, do you want to be part of the East Coast? Or I think they think they're from the Midwest.
For sure, Ohio does. I mean, look, Ohio, let's start with Ohio. Ohio is a very weird one because you have part East Coast, part Midwest, part South. And you hear Southern accents in Ohio all the time. And it, but it's, I think it's pretty, I think it is pretty Midwest. It's just a bizarre one. I just did four shows in Ohio this past week. They all definitely think they are Midwestern, and I think rightfully so. But there is some weird stuff going on here, you know?
Well, it's that close to Kentucky at the bottom, and Missouri is that close to Arkansas at the bottom. Like, if you ask anybody south of St. Louis, I would think they would say they think they're Southern. But if you go St. Louis, Kansas City, or North, we all say we're Midwestern. And in the Civil War, they were. I mean, we were a divided state, and we just beat the shit out of one another. And we never even got involved in the larger conflict. We just beat each other up.
Missouri has such an interesting history with that.
Yeah, fight local. That was the bumper sticker. Fight local. Just go 12 miles south and beat the shit out of that guy and come back home. It's very confusing, and it's always amazing to me how close Ohio is to Kentucky. And then when I go across the bridge to Covington, there's that awesome area down by the river with the big old grand like Southern homes. It looks like you're instantly transported to the South.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, I would live here because the taxes are cheaper, and there's these beautiful Southern homes with river views and like. But Ohio people seem to feel against that. Like they'll stay in Cincinnati before they, and then Ohio gets so close to Pennsylvania that now you're an East Coast area.
Well, and see, like, I gotta say, there's some places in Pennsylvania that feel sort of Midwest though, you know.
Well,
and
Pittsburgh does. Pittsburgh feels very, very working class. I mean, now it's gotten a lot of upgrades. I think Pittsburgh is like one of the best kept secrets in the whole country. The museums, the Andy Warhol Museum, you can walk around downtown, you can walk over to a game. It's a great downtown. I think it's totally, maybe they want to keep it a secret, but they need if they had a really good PR department, they could get a lot more tourists for a weekend. Oh, yeah. Midwest people that would go, hey, like my sister and her friends are always like, well, we need a weekend trip. Where should we go? And then they'll ask me and I'm like, Pittsburgh. And they're like, yeah, okay. Do you have any other ideas? I'm like, no, listen to me. Trust me on this. You'll have a blast. It's great. There's a million things to do, but Pittsburgh seems Midwest to me. Yes. Even though it's kind of not.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's almost like, sort of the East Coast, you know, had a love child with the Midwest while Canada sort of cucked. It's a weird, like, it's a weird mix and hodgepodge there, you know?
Yeah.
And I do like the bridges. Those bridges are great.
Yeah. And for people who are like, before we had phones, when I would have to go there for the funny bone or whatever, and I'm not really good with directions. The thing is, they painted all the bridges different colors, which is so smart because they just go find the pink bridge, Kathleen. Well, I can do that. Like if you go to other cities, they all are the same color. I'm like, finally, somebody went yellow, make it yellow. And then people will understand. Poor bad drivers will get it. It was very helpful. And they're pretty at night, too. And then there's an incline thing you can take up to the Mount. I think it's called Mount Adams, right? You go up that thing.
Yep.
And then there's like this cool little, I don't even like jazz bars. But there were a couple up there that were just super fun, like weird, like funky. Like I couldn't even. Yeah. It's a wonderful town. People should go on a little vacation
recommendation. Yeah.
Yeah. For Midwest people that want to drive somewhere or even fly, take a Southwest quick flight. It's a great, but people forget about it.
Totally. So a lot of untouched gems that you kind of find touring around. What do you think about Indiana in this Midwest conversation?
I don't know where to put it. I feel like it belongs to the East, but it doesn't.
Really? No, yeah, it's right there.
And they're far. It was like far, a lot of farmers. And I mean, Indianapolis is on its way. It's getting cool. I don't know. I feel like because they were farmers, there's not a ton of people compared to like Ohio. Ohio, we could go in one weekend. I could work Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Akron, Dayton, and none of them would even affect the other shows.
Yeah.
Like they're all their own thing. But Indiana, you're kind of going to run out after Indianapolis, then Bloomington, maybe.
Bloomington, Evansville. You can do
Evansville.
That.
Yeah, but none of those are going to be people wise as much as Ohio's like fourth choice.
No, Ohio's.
Yeah,
so many
people.
You ever played Van Wert, Ohio?
No, I don't even know where that is.
Oh, it's in Ohio. I know.
I'd never ever been to Marietta, Ohio. Do you know where that's at?
No.
I didn't either. It's about 2 hours south of
the city you were at before.
Cincinnati. But it was the most adorable downtown, but it was like a Hallmark downtown with a little bit of meth. There was just a little bit of meth.
Just a scotch of meth.
Yeah. But it was cute. It was, and the show was great. And they all have one old theater that's just awesome. That's like from the early 1900s, and they all have the same history where they're like, oh, we opened in the 20s, and it all gets to the 70s, and they all turned to porn for a solid decade. Yeah. And then they came back in the 80s, they got funding from somewhere, and then restored them all, and now they're all back, like, with regular shows.
That is hysterical, because that is the exact trajectory of every theater I feel like I've ever played in the Midwest, you know?
Everywhere, too. It's the whole country. I mean, even California or whatever, they're like, then the porn thing. And I guess we didn't have cable, and we didn't have the internet. So if you wanted to see porn, you had to go to a theater, which is kind of an upgrade for what is not really an upgraded thing, per se. It's not like the opera.
You
know, I'm going to go watch some porn at this beautiful theater. And but they all have every tiny town that has a main street has some sort of theater. And it's usually the smallest ones are like 700 seaters. So they're not small. Most are 12 to 1700.
They're similar to churches in a lot of ways of like, you're like, holy, like you look at the architecture of these churches and these theaters and you're like, where the hell did this money come from? And you're like, because we don't build stuff like that anymore. We don't build beautiful churches anymore. We don't build beautiful theaters, really. I mean, to a degree, but not like the way they did, you know?
It seems like there was a rich person always involved in the town.
Okay.
Like each town had some rich guy or lady that would just then benefactor all the money, and then boom, it appeared. And then that person ends up dying you know, and then how do we keep it going? Because Frank, with all the moolah, is gone. If his kid ain't going to give us the money, then I think they all kind of went a little nutty. They turned into movie theaters after live stuff. Like when movies came out, like in the 50s, 60s, and then the 70s porn thing. I think it's that they just didn't have any money. I don't know. Yeah, but there's a lot of them.
I'll tell you this. If there was a history documentary on theaters in America, like small local theaters, I'd watch at least 45 minutes of it. That's how interested I am in this conversation right now.
I would too.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The Republican chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan, is expecting action on critical issues when President-elect Trump begins a new term.
He's going to secure the border. I think he's going to get rid of this crazy inflation that's hurting our economy. I think he's going to get back to common sense energy policy. I think he's going to focus on protecting the First Amendment.
Jordan was on CNN's State of the Union. This, as former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tells the New York Times.
Had the president gotten out sooner, there may have been other candidates in the race. Kamala, I think, still would have won, but she may have been stronger, having taken her case to the public sooner.
With a wildfire raging in drought-stricken Passaic County, New Jersey, Forest Fire Service Chief Bill Donnelly says rain is needed in very dry areas there.
We're not talking, you know, rain shower or something. We're talking inches of rain. You know, a nice, slow, steady rain that can penetrate the ground. Because right now, the ground's so hard that you get a heavy shower or something, it's just going to run off the ground.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A win for the Badger women. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin women's volleyball team with an upset win over number 3-ranked Penn State, sweeping them 3-0. Wisconsin improving to a record of 18 wins and 5 losses. NBA, the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo misquoted Friday night. The Bucks had lost to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden when Giannis was talking about his team's struggles and suddenly said, "If you don't want to be here, you can leave." That story went viral. It turns out Giannis was speaking to a New York reporter in the group, who yawned and seemed bored.
Your willing and your intent is to get in the paint. You got to be in the right position. You got to move. You got to create space for guys to get in the paint. I feel like sometimes we hold the ball. Whenever the ball swung, they were driving and kicking. They got so many wide open threes. They got in the paint. Hey, man, if you don't want to be here, you can leave. If you don't want to be here, you can leave. I'm being honest with you.
Again, that's Giannis speaking to a reporter, not calling for one of his teammates to leave. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds around the area today. Some drizzle and fog as well. Highs in the lower to middle 50s. A light northwest wind developing. Across the area tonight, we'll see scattered clouds. That west breeze will continue as lows drop to the upper 30s. Currently 49 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, I'm Charlie Behrens, and you're listening to the Cripescast on Civic Media. Here's my conversation with comedian Kathleen Madigan. I'll tell you this. If there was a history documentary on theaters in America, like small local theaters, I'd watch at least 45 minutes of it. That's how interested I am in this conversation right now.
I would, too. To see how they did the city. A lot of it's the city decided to save it, but that's taxpayers' dollars. But why not? I would. If you're like, hey, Kathleen, we're going to take 1,000 out of your 3,000 you sent in to fine. Yeah, rebuild the theater so cool people come here. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that too. I don't know. So, but you know, that wouldn't pass for everyone. But still, you should always, I don't know, offer as an option. Yeah.
You know what we build now instead? We build sports stadiums instead.
That is true.
That's where the money goes. And if you don't build them, your downtown is going to go just to dog shit. It's like a gun to our heads. If you don't pay the ransom, your city's going to, I mean, they bring in so much money, the sports things that, you know, I mean, St. Louis, we lost two football teams, and I can tell you it has an effect on the downtown. I mean, great, we have the Cardinals, but all winter long, we don't have anything. Why would you go downtown?
What did it do to St. Louis when the Rams left?
Oh, it's terrible because like all the restaurants and all the out of town people would come. Let's say the Bears are playing the Rams, you know, then the Chicago people would come and the hotels were full. So now we've got all winter long where those rooms aren't being bought. And then nobody's going to dinner. Nobody's going to lunch. Usually they'd make a weekend out of it. They'd at least come down Friday for set because the game's on Sunday, you know, be there situated by Saturday. It's a big blow. I mean, I hate that they have that power, but they do. Yeah, and if your city loses it, it's a big old blow. Stuff will start closing. You'll see it all happen right in front of your face.
Yeah, they just did with the Brewers up in Milwaukee, where I'm from. And they were like, yeah, you guys got to put like, I don't know, 20 million or 20 billion. Who even knows? I couldn't even tell you which one it was, you know? And they're like, if you don't do it, we're sending your team like to friggin' San Antonio or something, you know? And it's exactly that. It's a rant. And then you got the politicians. They can't agree on much. But on this one, they were like, we should probably do this. You know, we don't know what are people going to do with all that tailgating energy all summer long if we don't.
Yeah. And you're getting tourists. That. My brother and his guy friends all just had a guy trip from St. Louis. They drove up to see the Brewers play the Cardinals. So there's five guys staying at the casino and they're all going to spend tons of their spending money. And then they went to the Brewers game. Like if you lose it, it's bad. I hate that they have the power, but they do. So like whatever they asked, I would just tell everybody, yeah, we got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it's kind of bullshit because the ones that stand up to them, we did it. Well, I'm just here to tell you it didn't work.
Yeah. That's the other end of the train. You should negotiate with the terrorists in the athletics department, you know?
No.
Yeah.
So that's what we build instead of theaters. Now we build giant. In Nashville, they're building the Titans a new stadium because they do kind of need one. I mean, the first time I went to a Titans game, I'm like, oh, wow, there's like college stadiums that are way, way bigger than this. And there's no seats in the end zones. It's just open air and there's no roof, which is fine till like December. But you're not going to get a Super Bowl with no roof.
Right.
I wonder, like comics, we go into places and we're like, oh, this is a nice green room. And oh, they did all this stuff and it's really cool. And then you go to some dump where you're like, oh man, I think football players probably walk into the current Titans stadium and they're just like, oh my God, look at that phone on the wall. What is that for? Like all this outdated it's fun to go because I feel like I'm at a college game, and you're drinking beer outside when the weather's nice, it's awesome. But, you know, I'm not going to go watch the shitty Titans in the rain for to spend $100 to and $14 on a beer. No, they got, and Nashville's a boom town. Like, they got to do it. But it's, I don't even know, billions. I read the articles and then I'm bad at math and then it gets too hard. And I just know we're going to do it.
Yeah.
But you have to.
I'm surprised the Titans didn't just build one better because they were like an expansion team. They came around, what, like the early 2000s or something?
I don't know. It's been 20 years.
Yeah, something.
And there's, they're still terrible. I mean, and then there's this. I should probably do a version of this in my act. There's this guy, Matt, and he works for the Titans, right? And sometimes if I buy StubHub tickets, it goes through the NFL system. So the NFL knows I bought two Titans tickets. They know I did it. And they have my phone number and they have my email, right? So every Monday, this guy, Matt, calls everybody on that list, I suppose, but he definitely calls me. I mean, we're on a first name basis now. And every week he calls to try to sell me season tickets. And I'm like, every time I watch a Titans game on Sunday, I'm like, oh, Matt's going to want to kill himself because tomorrow he's going to pick up the phone and have people just yell at him. And I'm like, Matt, I would love to buy season tickets. If you can tell me we have a different quarterback I've never heard of, is there a new person? And he'll go, well, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. It's still Mr. Levis. But we have a lot of hope. I'm like, well, then that's sad, Matt. You shouldn't have hope in Will Levis. He's terrible. But this guy's life, and this is like the third year in a row Matt has had this job. How long till Matt becomes a raging alcoholic or a heroin addict? You can't go into work and go, I have to call Kathleen again. Yeah, you do. You have to call like probably 80 other people on a list. And most of them aren't going to be nice and silly. I'm at least trying to make his day funnier, but he won't. He's so upset. It's about, today's a Monday. Oh, it's a holiday, though. He probably won't call till tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Look forward to his number. I look at my phone. I'm like, it's Matt.
That is such a great bit. Like the dude trying to push season tickets for insert bad team, you know? Right. That is so good.
And he has to do it on Mondays after the game, after a slaughter. I told him one time, I go, Matt, you know what a better strategy for you would be if you could tell your bosses? Maybe Thursday. Because we will have forgotten. Hope lives on Thursday. Because what if there's Thursday night football, Matt? And then we're all geared up like, yeah, the Titans can do this. We can beat the Colts. Sure, why not? The Colts aren't that good. They got old man quarterback. Let's do that. But Monday? Yeah. Terrible idea.
Come on. It's when the Monday morning quarterbacks are in full force. Are you a fan of the casinos? Is that your...
To work them or to be a person?
No, to be a... I take my grandma to the casinos, and the slot machines in particular is kind of what I want to talk about here. Are you a fan of the slot machines yourself?
Well, I'm totally over the top into video poker, but the new slot machines, and I mean these like anime ones or whatever, where there's like 50 lines, like I don't even know what's going on. And my mom goes, I go, Mom, I don't even understand what I'm going for here. She goes, I don't either. That's the fun part. I'm like, well, I'd kind of like to know what I'm rooting for. I do not like the new, I'm the lady that goes in and goes, don't you have an old school Wheel of Fortune?
Yes.
I don't want a digital one. I don't want a digital one. And I know I'm just going to get run out of Dodge on this one because every new casino I go to, that's all they have. And I just can't. I'm like, video poker, though, they can't really upgrade that any more than it's already been upgraded. So a video poker bar with like Sunday football on, it's perfect. Yes, I could be there. I mean, literally for hours and hours and hours. But so would my brother. So would my mom and dad. So would my sister. Like everybody's all in on, and Missouri's got, well, a lot of casinos now, which is weird because we have that, but we can't bet online. You can't do DraftKings. You can in Tennessee.
Right.
But weed's not legal here, but weed is legal in Missouri, but you can't gamble. So you can be high, but you can't gamble. And here you can be a gambling addict, but you can't be high. It's so stupid.
It is.
But I love the casino gigs too, because those people are usually in a good mood. They're excited to be at the casino. The casinos require no work for us. They're not saying, hey, get up and go on this radio station. They throw a billboard up. They spend money. And they don't seem to really, I mean, I sell the tickets, so I don't know what would happen if I didn't. I haven't seen that side of it, thankfully, yet. Probably just not book you back, but I mean, there's 9 million Indian casinos. And I'm not even exaggerating. Yeah. You just got to find them.
There is a ton of them. And I go, every time I have a casino show, my grandma, she'll call me and she'll be like, what's going on with this show? She'll come with her friend Lois. And I remember we went to this show at North Star Casino. We're out. I do my show. I think I had two shows. So it was a late thing. I went to bed. I assume they went to bed. My aunt texts me at 12 saying, just rolling grandma up to bed. She was in a wheelchair, just being rolled up to bed. And she was like, me and Lois, my grandma's 86-year-old friend, we're going to go out and keep gambling if you want to come. And I was I'm good. I'm like wiped out. I'm tired. I found out they stayed up till 3 a.m. gambling.
Wow.
And I was like, you guys, like an 86-year-old woman and, you know, a 60-some-year-old woman, they were just partying it up. And it's those slot machines. Slot machines for like 65, 70 plus in that age range, it's like TikTok for the younger generation. You know, I feel like it's got that amount, that same dopamine kick. You know,
it, and I've also seen the old people, like my mom came out. I did a bunch, I don't know, like 4 shows in Vegas at some, I think it was the Mirage. And she said, well, do you want to get up and have breakfast? I said, all right, what time? She goes, well, I was thinking about 5. And I'm like, what, 5 for breakfast? Mom, I don't even know if anything's open. She's, her theory is you have to get to the slots by 6 because they've been loaded all night. And this is when it's really going to pop. And it's what's like, crazy, they have these strategies. What's crazy is if half the time she's right. Like there's these old people down there hitting royal flushes and then on their Wheel of Fortune, whatever, $1,000. Like they're just cleaning up our mess. That's what I feel like. And they're not necessarily wrong a lot of the time.
That's that's like talking about fishing. We got to get up before the bite. You know,
right.
We got to be there right at the time. Yeah. And some of them tap the glass after they hit the thing. They tap the glass like this, you know, I don't know what that's for.
I don't either. There's a lot of weird superstitions, though. Like I can't play next to anybody playing Keno. That noise literally will make my head explode. And they're never bothered by it.
No.
Like the video poker bar, a lot of those machines, you can change the game. So like if somebody comes up and plays blackjack, fine. That's not doing that. You'll be playing video poker, having a wonderful time. And then that Keno person shows up and it's like, oh my God, how is that not just making your head want to blow off? But that's when I'll move. As soon as a Keno person comes, I'm out. Yep. But that's more because I'm annoyed by the noise. It's not really a superstition as much as I am annoyed. So I did a casino in Riverside, Iowa, and my mom and dad for like 10 years they stalked my schedule for casinos that they could drive to, and then they would just show up for the weekend, which was fun. And I mean, it was fine. I don't, you stalk me all you want, whatever. They just go, we need a room. I'm like, no problem, I can get you a room. Well,
yeah,
the Cardinals were in that wasn't the World Series yet, it must have been the divisional playoffs. And I had my show in there at the video poker bar. And I go, you guys, the show's gonna, and it was like tied. I think we were playing Boston. It was like 2-2. Tony La Russa was the coach. It was that while ago, long ago. And my dad goes, well, your mom's got a hot machine and the Cardinals are tied 2-2. Is there any way you could do all your new jokes at the end? And I go, no, Dad, I'm not going to rearrange my act because you have a gambling problem and the Cardinals, I do it good. I want to watch the Cardinals too, but unfortunately I have to work right now. And I go, I don't care if you ever see my act. I'll do it in your room for you if you want. Well, I mean, I do feel an obligation. I said, well, don't. I don't care. I literally do not care if you, mom, ever come in that showroom again in your lives. You know what's going on in there. It's the same, just more of it. So. They never came to the show. My mom's machine was good. And this is when I knew I had a gambling problem too. There's this older comedian, Kenny Rogers, Rogerson out of Boston. And he's super fun. And we were at the MGM and there was a big boxing match when boxing was the thing, not UFC. It was like a Tyson fight against somebody out back. And I think it was when he bit his ear off and all Holyfield's and all hell went loose and there was shooting in the casino and I could hear it. It was really? At the MGM Grand. Yeah, it was at the MGM.
Same night?
Yeah, and Kenny goes, me and Kenny were at the video poker bar. Kenny goes, that was a gun, right? I go, yeah, but it sounded like way over there. It didn't sound like I feel like it's contained to the Wizard of Oz bar. There was this big bar called the Wizard of Oz bar. I go, I think we should keep playing unless it gets closer. Then, I mean, we had just gotten beers. I mean, I already gotten like 4/8. I'm like, oh, I thought it's fun to go to shit. I'm not leaving. So we didn't leave.
This is the same conversation when you're out in a boat, the crappies are biting and you hear thunder and you're like, I didn't see lightning yet. Right.
Yeah. It's way
over
there. Did
you see the lightning? Yeah.
And then I would always think, is Stevie Nicks' song right? Thunder only happens when it's raining and then lightning something. And I'm like, I shouldn't be licking to Stevie Nicks for science. I'm like a cave lady that just knows nothing. I know nothing about any of that. I know I won't leave till I see lightning if the fish are biting. I'm not. Thunder could be miles away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. By the way, I'm making these decisions in the worst boat a man imaginable, like a Miro craft, a full just a metal boat. My feet are in an inch of water in the boat at this point, you know, as I'm making these, like this isn't like a rubber lined or a plastic lined boat, you know.
But then I'd always think I have my old fishing tennis shoes on and the bottom's rubber, so will that stop it all? I don't know.
But if the crappies are biting enough, you'll roll the dice, you know?
Yeah.
What's your favorite fish to catch?
Bass. I mean, I love crappie fishing, like with my nieces and nephews, because we could just sit on the dock and pull out 100 of them.
Yeah.
But bass for sure. But I also, this is where I have my Midwest disconnect. I don't understand the fishing like in Michigan.
Yeah.
Or Wisconsin. Like, I don't know anything about pike or walleye. And I caught a pike in Scotland once and it was a fun fight. So I think that would probably be fun.
Yeah.
But we never, I don't know. I feel like that's where Missouri does get Southern. People are catfishing. I don't want to do that ever. Have you ever heard one actually meow? I mean, it's terrifying. that where they are on the dock just going meow, meow. I'm like, oh my god, they really do that. You know, the little fish for the kids, but like the boat I have is a bass boat. Like my brother-in-law's is more of a deep V, like for he likes northern, like Canadian fishing and stuff. I don't understand anything about any of that. I would like to learn. I don't know how to fly fish. It's not really a thing in Missouri. Yeah. It looks fun, but it also looks like a lot of work. I mean, bass fishing, I'm in the boat, cast. I want to be casting. I don't like the sedentary. Like, I went striper fish. No, I didn't like that at all. Like, you just drive the boat. Well, and now you're cheating because you can see it all on GPS if there's a whole school of fish. Then you just drop your line and pull them out. I'm like, well, that was kind of cheating.
I first of all, I love bass fishing. I hear you on that. There's nothing more fun than, I mean, catching a bass. I mean, that's the fight is unmatched, but until maybe you get up to like a northern or a muskie, you know, and those are but the jumping and everything, like you don't need to catch a big bass to have it like just jump up and all that sort of stuff and have it be a fun fight. But I'm with you on the, are you talking about the live scopes where they like put those in and they're like, yeah, we got fish right there? Or are you talking about trolling?
Yeah, no, it's not trolling. You're actually in a spot now where the skill does come in. Like there's a lake in Georgia I went at Lake Lanier, and with this guy who knows the lake very well. He knows what he's doing. So he's got a striper boat And then he turns on a GPS and he thinks he knows where the schools of fish are. And we pull up, and if you can just see it on the GPS, if they're there. And then he helps you drop your lines, because I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, you catch on pretty quick, but, and then we all just catch a fish and we leave, because the school of fish leaves. And I'm like, well, the rest of the time, though, we're doing nothing, drinking, which is fun, but I'd like to be drinking and fishing.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's kind of not a lot of activity.
I'm with you. The game of fishing has changed, because you go out with these live scopes now where you get out there and you put this thing in the water and you're like, yeah, I can see it right there. And then you're like, cast right there. Right. And then you got the person who owns the live scope like critiquing your retrieve. You know, they're like, slow it down. No. I'm like, dude, I'm not playing a video game here. I don't know if you know this. I'm not really here to catch a fish.
That's we should start there. That should have been the conversation when I got in the boat.
Right.
Like, I just want to do stuff.
Yeah.
I want to cast the line, and you know, I'll take the sedentary stuff on the dock for crappie, because with kids, there's 90 million things going on of fixing their hook and they get the minnows. That there's always something to do, but the ones where we just, I don't know, even the trolling, deep sea fishing, I've gone a lot. I never know really what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't really care that I don't know, but like, all of a sudden the pole will go crazy. And then there's, you know, two guys coming to, even if it's you, it's not just cause I'm small. I mean, they're just coming to help. And I literally would have a cow could be on the end of that line. That's how much I don't know about what the fuck I'm catching. I can pull anything out. And the surprise is fun, where you're like, oh, it's a baby swordfish. Look at that. But it's a lot of trolling and being sunburnt and drinking, which is fun. That's just not what I would prefer. I would take it over any other activity that day. But
I want to do a show called The Fish Finders, where it's two people in one old shitty boat without any fish finders. And then
That'd be good.
Yeah. You have to film for a long time. It's really probably a podcast where you just barely ever catch a fish, you know? But I mean, you can catch a ton of you can catch a lot of fish that way. That's usually how I fish, and you do catch fish. It's just some days you catch nothing, but that's okay.
But that's usually the weather, I feel like.
That's certainly what I blame it on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever the weather is, I make it up. I'm like, you know, pressure changes, you know.
Well, it rained yesterday and now they're down. They don't want to come back up because they're afraid there's going to be another storm. I put so many thoughts in a fish's head that it like, if the fish could hear that, they'd be like, lady, it's just not that intricate.
I just ate. me,
I'm just not hungry. That's all there is to it. Yeah. And your lure sucks. I'm not falling for that. Get a different lure.
That's hilarious. So I want to bring this up before we end, and that's your kind of big Catholic family. Did you guys all grow up fishing and like spending time I guess you guys would be down in the Ozarks, right?
Yeah.
Lake of the Ozarks. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the big. That's when I hear like my nieces and nephews, the older ones, they're like, oh, they're going on spring break to like Aruba. I'm like, wow, that really kicks the shit out of Lake of the Ozarks, I guess. Like, we never really left. We didn't even go fishing like in Illinois. I remember my younger brother said one of his.
Well, that's all the time we have for now, folks. But if you want to listen to my full interview with Kathleen, check out the Cripescast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down, just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot in the walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No. Gotta keep her moving.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, it's not all doom and gloom. Jody Habish-Sinikin, Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. She won. Plus, Harvey K. will talk about what happened and what comes next. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Wisconsin Decides 2024, and this is the only place you received election results from across the state live.
And you're responding to our coverage.
I just want to thank you for being there for us.
Wisconsin is not people that are sore losers.
Well, no matter what happens, there will be a tomorrow, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Here for you after the election or any time.
Real news and great conversation on 93.5 The Tap and the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the city. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.